So for our second New Testament reading this morning, we're in the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10 this morning, verses 40 and 42. Let's listen to the Word of God. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of a righteous person. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. In his little book, You Changed My Life, Christian author Max Lucado shares a story about the 19th French financier, Baron de Rothschild. At one time, Baron de Rothschild was one of the richest men in the world. But according to the story, there was a time when Baron de Rothschild posed and sat for a portrait in the studio of artist Ari Scheffer. And the rich baron dressed up as a beggar. He was dressed all in tatters and rags. He was even holding a tin cup. So at one point, a friend of the artist dropped by the studio, and he thought the baron actually was a beggar. And so he dropped a small coin in the tin cup. 10 years later, this same guy who dropped the coin in the baron's cup received a letter containing a bank order for 10,000 francs. The message enclosed read, "You once gave a coin to Baron de Rothschild in the studio of Ari Scheffer. He has invested it and today sends you the capital entrusted to his care along with the compounded interest. A good deed always brings good fortune." Signed, Baron de Rothschild. A simple act of kindness was richly rewarded. So today we're at the end of Matthew chapter 10, and Jesus talks about rewards. Anybody who receives a prophet, Jesus says, receives a prophet's reward. People who welcome righteous people will receive the same kind of reward that righteous people receive. Anybody who gives a little one a cup of water to drink will be rewarded. We live in a culture that often puts a great deal of emphasis on rewards and punishment. Many of us like to believe that good is always rewarded and wickedness is always punished. Many years ago, a teacher of preachers named King Duncan wrote about how a cup of cold water can be precious in the eyes of God. And so for the next few minutes, I want to reflect on some of the reasons why God would reward something as simple as giving somebody a cup of water to drink. As we get started with that, let's take a moment and pray together. Great and mighty God, thank you so much for this day that you've made, for the love that you surround us with, and for the mercy and the grace that you give to us. We pray, Lord, that as we come together to listen, that we can have the ears of your Holy Spirit, eyes to see, a heart that can understand what it is you have set before us, so that we can respond in ways that would make you happy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus said, whoever gives even a cup of water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, not one of these will lose their reward. One of the biggest reasons why something as simple as giving someone a cup of water to drink would be rewarded by God is that giving, caring about other people, is the essence of what it means to follow Jesus. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." A group of students once asked anthropologist Margaret Mead, "What is the first sign of culture, of civilization in a given culture?" Now, they were expecting the answer to be something like a clay pot, or perhaps a fish hook, or maybe a grinding stone. Her answer was a healed leg bone. She said that healed leg bones do not exist in cultures where the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest, reigns. A healed leg bones, she went on to explain, indicates that somebody cared. Somebody else had to do that person's hunting and gathering while that leg bone healed. Evidence of compassion, she concluded, is the first sign of civilization. Caring about people is the essence of what Jesus was all about. A few weeks ago, we talked about the kind of gut-wrenching compassion that drove Jesus and his ministry. People who follow Jesus have been invited to share that same level of compassion. That's how the world knows that they actually follow Jesus. The old song, "They know we are Christians by our love." Down through the centuries, great Christians have always cared enough about other people to be great givers. John Chrysostom, for example, lived all the way back in the 4th century. He is one of the most powerful preachers in church history. And yet, John Chrysostom devoted far more time to working in hospices and hospitals for the poor than he ever did to preaching. Bernard of Clairvaux started a great monastic order, led many, many people to Christ. At the same time, he established a network, an entire network of hospices, hospitals, and hostels that still exist today. John Wycliffe was the very first person to translate the New Testament into English. He led a grassroots movement of people who ministered to the poor. General William Booth, an English Methodist minister, started the Salvation Army. Dwight L. Moody was one of the most noted pastors in 19th century American church history. He started over 150 street missions, soup kitchens, clinics, schools, and rescue centers for the poor. Caring for people, giving to those who are in need, is the very essence of what it means to follow Jesus, even if it's something as simple as giving someone a cup of water to drink. Another reason why something like that would be so richly rewarded by God is that sometimes giving someone a cup of water to drink is what is needed the most. In the New Testament book of James, the Bible says that if someone comes to you hungry and cold, without clothes, naked and hungry, and you say to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and be filled, and yet you don't do anything to help them, it doesn't amount to much. Faith by itself, just a whole bunch of words without any action, is worthless. A guy named Gary Swanson told about a time when John Garland Bose was chairman of the parent company of Wham-O. They make frisbees. Yes. Bose once participated in a charity event and sent hundreds of those plastic flying discs to an orphanage over in Angola, Africa. He thought that the children would really have a good time playing with them. So several months later, a representative from that company visited the orphanage, and one of the nuns there just exuded an appreciation for all these wonderful plates their company had sent. And she explained how much the children enjoyed eating off them. She talked about the way they used them to collect water and even catch fish. And when the representative explained how frisbees are intended to be used, she was even more delighted to find out that now they would have some toys. Those of us who live in the United States of America have been blessed far beyond our wildest imagination. We have so very much, and it's very easy for us to forget how very little most of the people who live on this planet actually have. They would cherish things that we just cast aside. You know, they would be eternally grateful for things we just throw away, even if it's a cup of water. It's absolutely critical that those of us who follow Jesus give. And it's not because we're supposed to be good people. It's because there was a time when we desperately needed help ourselves. There was a time when we were completely helpless and absolutely undeserving, and Jesus died for us. He poured God's grace into our lives so that we could know how much God loves us, even in those times when we are completely unlovable. When we give to people in need, even if they don't deserve it, we are sharing the grace God has given to us. And that's another reason why God would reward something as simple as giving someone else a cup of water to drink, because sometimes that's what's needed to share the grace of God. And one final reason why God would reward something as simple as giving someone a cup of water to drink is that this world needs our gifts. The passage we read right at the start of the sermon comes at the end of the time when Jesus is sending out his disciples to do ministry. If you remember the gospel story, there was a point at which Jesus told the 12 to go away from him for a time. And as they went, he told them to go to the lost sheep of Israel to preach good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. He told them as he sent them away that they were going to have to depend upon the kindness of strangers. But he reminded them that whoever welcomed them, whoever gave to them, was actually giving to him. So we always need to remember that any time we give to the cause of Christ, no matter how big or how little that may be, we are actually giving to Jesus. Years ago, there was an old story in an issue of Daily Guidepost about this church group that decided one year that they were going to send Christmas presents to a missionary family overseas. And they spent a great deal of time and attention selecting and purchasing items according to the family's stated needs, their ages, and their sizes. And they all got together one afternoon in the fellowship hall of the church to pack all these items so they could send them overseas. Well, as they were hard at work, another member of the congregation just kind of whirled into the fellowship hall and plopped an almost brand new men's winter coat on the table. She said her husband just didn't like the style, suggested that perhaps the missionary family could use it, and then she was gone. Well, the group was furious. This woman obviously had not spent any time or given any thought to the project. She was just looking for a way to get rid of a coat. It wouldn't even fit anybody in the family. But when they got done packing the container, they discovered that all the items didn't completely fill it. And so somebody folded up that coat and kind of crammed it down in the top. It made perfect packing material. Sometime after Christmas, a thank you note arrived from the missionary family. They expressed all kinds of gratitude for all the wonderful Christmas presents the church had sent. But they were most especially appreciative for the miracle gift. You see, on Christmas Day, where the missionary family lived, there was a vicious and unexpected snowstorm, and a destitute man showed up at their door. He was so poorly dressed for the cold that they invited him in until the storm passed. Now, they knew that there would be no gift in that container for their unexpected guest, but they decided to go ahead and open it anyway, and that's when they discovered the coat. It fit the man perfectly. No gift ever given to the cause of Christ is ever given in vain. When we give to the cause of Christ, we are giving to Jesus. And that's why God would reward something as simple as giving someone a cup of water to drink. Jesus made it clear that the more we try to hang on to our own lives, the more we will end up losing them. It's as we lose our lives for Christ and for Christ's sake that we find them. It's very easy to believe that when we give money away, we just lose it. It's very easy to assume that if we help somebody who doesn't deserve it, we'll never get anything back. It's easy to convince ourselves that giving our time, our talents, our treasures to the work of the kingdom of heaven here on earth won't really amount to very much. It's really easy to believe that if we give ourselves wholly and completely to Jesus, we will end up losing the only thing we really possess. I invite you once again to hear the truth. It's what we try to keep that is what we will lose. It's what we give away that we keep forever. And that's why God would so richly reward something as simple as giving someone a cup of water to drink. Let's pray. Mighty God, we do have so much. And there are often times when we really don't realize how much we have. There are so many people in this world, people who have been created in your image and likeness, Holy Lord, that don't have anything. Help us, dear God, to answer your call to be at work in this world with all that we have and all that we are. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.